You're listening to Radio Sri Chinmoy, and you're also listening to Inspiration Sound, stories from the heart of the world. I'm Budsamudra Knox. You're listening to the long-awaited episode 39. Well, folks, it's great to be back. A lot has taken place in the last year, and I'm recharged and re-energized, and I'm really looking forward to presenting the weekly podcast of Inspiration Sounds to you. And so looking forward to getting back into recording some of the fantastic stories that Sri Chinmoy has written over the last years. Such amazing depth from these stories, and many of them are incredibly funny and amusing, which I think is one of the great joys from these stories, is that we can take the idea that that we don't take life too seriously, perhaps. I know that I do sometimes, perhaps more than I'd like. So, anyway, as you can tell, I haven't scripted my introduction, but I want to get straight into it. I want to get straight into the stories. So, this week we begin episode 39 with Big Pot, Little Pot. There were two neighbors who were very kind to each other. Quite often they exchanged things, whenever one was in need of something that the other one had. This borrowing and returning of things went on for months and for years. Now, human life is such that jealousy never remains fast asleep for long. One of the neighbors suddenly became very rich. The other one became very sad and very mad because she and her husband were still quite poor. One day, the poor one went to the rich one to borrow a big pot, because she was inviting some of her friends over to eat. Of course, she was also inviting her rich neighbor. So she took the pot and she used it to cook a wonderful meal. A few days later, she brought her neighbor back a very small pot. The rich one said, "We gave you a big pot, yet you are giving us back a small one." The poor woman said, "God wanted to increase this family. This big pot has given birth to a small pot." Out of gratitude, she was giving the little pot to the neighbor as a gift. "I am giving you a gift. Please take it," she said. "I will return your big pot very soon." The little pot was very cute, and the rich woman was very happy that she was getting a new pot in addition to her own pot that her neighbor promised to return.
"It's very nice of you to give us another pot," she said.
Some time went by, and still the lady did not return the big pot. The rich neighbor was embarrassed to ask for it because her friend always returned things. She said to herself,
"This time perhaps she has forgotten. Let me wait a few more days."
Finally, the rich lady said,
I'm sorry to remind you. You must have forgotten that you still have my big pot. Otherwise, I am sure you would have returned it. We are such good friends. We always return things."
The poor friend said,
"I could not return it to you because something happened. When I borrowed a big pot, it gave birth to a little pot. But then, after a few days, it died."
The neighbors said,
"Pots can't die."
The poor friend replied,
"If you believed me the first time that your pot had given birth to a little pot, can't you believe me this time that your big pot has died? If you believe in new life, how is it that you can't believe that old life can die?"
The real reason: the neighbor had dropped the pot and had broken it. Our final story this week is from Sri Chinmoy's book, the earth illumination trumpets of divinity's home. What a great title. And I wanted to start with a few words from Sri Chumwa himself that appear as an introduction in the book. He says, "I shall take you to another world, the world of enlightenment and amusement. I feel that enlightenment and amusement are the obverse and reverse of the same coin. In these volumes, I have related some stories from the Puranas, our ancient Indian texts. There are 18 Puranas. Their author was the great sage Vyasa, who also dictated the Mahabharata. Millions and billions of people have heard these stories. These stories are funnier than the funniest. We get tremendous joy from them. Then again, there are scholars who will be able to give us elaborate explanations. From these explanations, which are created by the reasoning mind, we will never get any joy. There is joy in reading the stories, joy in hearing them, but there is no joy in entering into philosophical discourse. Let the philosophers and historians play their role in their own way. We are not interested. These stories from the Puranas are not for the mind to understand, but for the heart to enjoy." So I've selected one of these stories, and it's called Ganesha Encircles the Universe. The two sons of Shiva and Parvati were called Ganesha and Kartikeya. As time passed, both of them became extremely eager to get married. They begged their parents, "Oh, please, please find us suitable wives. You choose. We are dying to get married. Unless we are happily married, we feel that our lives will be empty." Shiva and Parvati were more than happy to fulfill their son's request. "We shall find you both beautiful wives," they promised. Unfortunately, Ganesha and Kartikeya had a terrible argument. Each of them wanted to get married first. Ganesha wanted to marry before Kartikeya because he was the older of the two. And Kartikeya wanted to marry before Ganesha because he thought that the youngest should get the first chance. Shiva and Parvati now had a serious problem on their hands. They could not decide whom to please and whom to deny. At last, Shiva said, "Let us do one thing. Whoever can travel to the ends of the earth and come back first will be married first." Kartikeya immediately set out on his journey. His vehicle was a peacock. 3 years passed, and still he had not reached the ends of the earth. Meanwhile, the pot-bellied Ganesha stayed at home enjoying himself. He knew that he could not hope to keep up with his athletic brother. When Shiva saw that Ganesha had not even run the race, he said to his son, "What are you doing? You have not yet even started. Any day, any moment, Kartikeya will come back. What is wrong with you?" Ganesha remained silent, and Shiva continued, "I know what you are thinking. As long as you can get married, it is enough. You no longer care who is first and who is second. That is why you are not in a rush. You have accepted your defeat." Ganesha simply smiled at his father and went on with his usual routines. One day, a thought crossed his mind. "I am sure that by now, my brother has traveled to the farthest lengths of the earth and is on his way home. Now is the time for me to act." He went to bathe in the river and then circled his mother, Parvati. After completing one round, he bathed once more and again circled his mother. 7 times he bathed and 7 times he circumnavigated her. "What are you doing, my son?" asked Parvati.
Have you not read our sacred scriptures, Mother? Ganesha answered. The Shastras tell us that you are the Divine Mother. You are the whole world, the entire universe. I went around you not once, but 7 times. That means I have gone around the world 7 times. So am I not entitled to marry first?
What kind of logic is this?
Objected Shiva. Ganesha presented his argument. If you do not consider my mother to be the Divine Mother, if you do not believe in the Vedas, then why do you tell people to honor the Vedas? You always say that the Vedas are correct and perfect. How can you justify yourself? Shiva realized that his son was right. Parvati was the entire universe. To show that they approved of Ganesha's action, Shiva and Parvati found not one, but 2 most beautiful wives for him. Their names were Buddhi and Siddhi. Each wife bore Ganesha a son. Ganesha named his sons Labha and Laksha. He was so proud of his family, and they lived the happiest life together. The grandparents, Shiva and Parvati, were also extremely happy with their new grandchildren. But sometimes a little sadness entered into them when they thought of poor Kartikeya. He had been gone so many years, and they did not know when he would return. As Kartikeya drew nearer to home, he saw the sage Narada. He said to Narada,
"How is everything? Oh, tell me some news."
"How is everything?" echoed Narada. "Why are you so late?"
"What do you mean?" asked Kartikeya.
"Has Ganesha already returned?"
"Yes," said Narada.
"He is married. He has 2 wives, and each of them has given him a son. How could you allow him to claim the victory?"
Upon hearing Narada's news, Kartikeya grew furious. He did not accept Ganesha's interpretation of the Shastras at all. He reached home and saw with his own eyes that Ganesha was extremely happy with his wives and his sons. Shiva and Parvati tried their best to console Kartikeya. They promised to find him a beautiful bride, but Kartikeya's blood was boiling. He declared,
"No! I am not taking an oath. Since you all fooled me, I am not going to get married at all in this lifetime."
Henceforth, Kartikeya was known as Kumara, which means one who was unmarried. Having taken his oath, Kumara left his parents' house to live alone. He did not want to remain with his family any longer because he felt that they had all deceived him. Kumara refused to return home, even to visit his parents. They missed him greatly, so they asked him if they could go and visit him. He agreed that when the night was darkest and there was no moon, Shiva could visit him. And when the moon was at its fullest, Parvati could visit him. He agreed to see them, but only on those 2 occasions each month. That concludes this week's episode of Inspiration Sounds. Well, I hope you all enjoyed it. I know some of you out there have been quite eager for new episodes to come around, so I hope you're happy with these stories. They're a lot of fun to do, and I hope they do serve as some inspiration and some amusement for you. So join me next week when we shall have episode 40 on Inspiration Sounds. It's been a lot of fun, as usual. I'm Butsamudra. Thanks for listening.